All right, welcome back to Sports Central. Penn State basketball team takes on Ohio State tomorrow night at the Jordan Center, 8 o'clock, a huge game. Ohio State's one of the best teams in the country right now, playing tremendous basketball outside of Gonzaga and Baylor, which are both undefeated. I think Ohio State's right there, the next best team in the country. Joe Lodnoski joins us from the PA Sports Network. And, Joe, I appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us. I want to ask you about status quo versus blowing things up in the program and kind of hitting the reset button. What's going on with you today, man?
Not much, Corey. Appreciate it. And I always, as you well know, if anybody that wants to take the time to talk some Penn State hoops, I'm down for it. But yeah, I don't know that. And you were the you were the first one that sort of brought this to my attention in terms of the thought process and the management aspect of it. And the reason I frame it as the management aspect, imagine we're literally having a conversation about a team that potentially may only end up with 5 or 6 wins in the league, right? And we're theoretically thinking about not making a coaching change on the premise to keep that band together. And that, to me, is where I sort of kind of hit rock bottom. And maybe it was amid frustration, but, I watched that game. I recorded it, but I watched that game after the fact, and I'm like, and Jim Ferry, maybe the best guy in the world, maybe the worst guy in the world. I don't know him from Adam. But what has this team done that would suggest that we got to keep these guys together? And
yeah,
that's the weird spot.
That's the question, because here's the thing, okay? I'm going to lay out both sides. They are competitive. They almost beat Ohio State the first time. They almost won on the road at Michigan State, although Michigan State's bad. They almost beat some of these teams, and they did beat some good teams too. But as Joe mentioned, right now they're 4-9. If they beat Ohio State tomorrow, we'll come in Friday with a different discussion, because the bubble talk would start up. It'd be an incredible win, one of the best wins by anybody in the country this year. But if they don't, they're 4-10. And then if they go to Iowa and lose, they're 4-11. So what Joe's talking about is, okay, if you're 4-11, you're not beating these folks with these players. Yes, you're competitive, but that's where you get to the issue of, if the players transfer and you fall off a cliff and you're not competitive anymore, the issue becomes, what have you really lost? Yeah, you're 4-11. Maybe you go 6-12 or whatever. They are going to play Nebraska, so that's a 19th game. We'll see about Michigan if there's a 20th. But the point is, what are you protecting? Are you protecting just being competitive over the next year or two by keeping these guys, Joe, as opposed to if 3 or 4 guys transfer and you go, I don't know, 5-15 in the league? I mean, what's the difference in a lot of ways?
Well, it's almost like, what's the point of, being .500 every year in Major League Baseball, right? we didn't stink, but we weren't any good. I mean, you got to be really good and you got to really stink to prosper. And at some point, as the country Western song so eloquently put, 2 steps forward, 1 step back. Maybe in this instance, you got to take a couple steps back. Now, the question is going to be, how committed are they going to be? And that's where things get really dicey. Because Jim Ferry is always, I think, always going to have the okay or the not embarrassed element of Penn State hoops. But, if you think about what we saw this past weekend with Penn State football, you're losing, not obviously Tim Banks, going to be a coordinator is a step up. But, at 1.4 from a safeties coach to be 1.4 at Tennessee, well, James Franklin, as he should, is going to be catered to first. Well, if they're going to bump up salaries of his assistants.
Yeah.
What's that mean for the basketball program? So if you can keep Jim Ferry and be, you know, middle of the road, bottom of the barrel, but never be awful, that's not terrible. Because as long as you're okay, you always have a chance to win, which, quite frankly, Penn State's always been okay. But to blow it up, to start all over again, you risk not being okay. And when I mean okay, you know, they're going to have a couple of outings every year that makes you think they turn the corner, and then they're going to have a couple of outings every year that make you throw up in your mouth. That's what I mean. I'm just saying, like, I don't know how committed they are, and there's a lot of mouths to feed on a budget that's pretty tight these days.
Joe Lodnoski from the PA Sports Network, and therein lies the issue. I love college basketball. Joe loves college basketball. There are some of us around here, maybe not a ton, but people wonder, why can't Penn State basketball be any good? Why can't Penn State basketball do what Wisconsin did starting in the 90s? Why can't Penn State basketball do what Florida State did? And the issue really, and this is before the pandemic, and the pandemic changes so many things from a revenue-wise standpoint. The issue is here, okay, football pays for everything. So if we're going to pay a basketball coach $1 million a year, and no matter how they do, Joe, that basketball team is going to make about $3-4 million profit, okay? Because that's what the numbers show. Whether Penn State's 12-17 or 17-12, they're going to make about $4 million, okay? But if you give a basketball coach $2 million, now you've eaten into your profit by $1 million. And so it's not like going 20-12 every year is going to all of a sudden get you to $8 million. It's just not. That's not the way Penn State works. It might get you to 5 or 6. But the risk-reward, when you throw in football, folks, how do you think they hired Mike Yurcich? How do you think they hired Mike Yurcich? How do you think they keep Brent Pry? Because they give these guys $1.5 million. And that's where things have changed, or more. That's where things have changed. Football it makes all of the money, and that's always been the case. But, Joe, how do you even justify spending more money on basketball ever if it's not going to make money when every single dollar you spend on football could end up producing you $3, $4, $5?
You know, I suppose that's why you have the people that are, finger quotes, really smart making these types of decisions. I would not be opposed if Penn State basketball, but you would need somebody that knew what they were doing, like James Franklin, in terms of just running that program like one of James Franklin's position coaches. Like, obviously you're going to miss, but when I say that, the one element of James Franklin that he does not get enough credit for is his ability to identify talent as coaches. Other than people that he asks to leave, they always, you know, go up in terms of their job.
Yeah, all of them, yeah.
So, I mean, so if you could find somebody that could be, you know, the CEO of basketball, if you would, that their only job was to have the same list in their desk drawer that Franklin seems to have when it comes to these coaches, to just grab guys off the street, you know, that nobody knows about, and, you know, let them win 15 to 20 games a year.
But then those guys, same thing. It'd be the same thing as football. Those guys would all leave. Let me make a Joe Brady comparison. Yeah, Joe Brady comparison, the hot young coach that went to LSU and his career blew up. Penn State, yeah, it'd be great if you could bring in somebody that was just phenomenal, but then you've got to recruit more kids. And but I do get what you're saying. If you had a system in place where you had a bunch of hired guns, but you have to pay them too. And are you going to get these hired guns based on what Penn State can pay for basketball?
I didn't say that this was a recipe for success. I just said this is a recipe. I mean, they are, you know, in a quandary in terms of their financial commitment. And, again, I've said this to you countless times. Penn State is the most unique job in the country in terms of the Power Five, but maybe the most unique job in the country, period. But how many coaches do you know, basketball coaches, that are the third, fourth, in Jim Ferry or Pat Chambers' instance, the fourth most influential voice on their campus? You and I have talked about this ad nauseum, but it is the absolute harsh reality. James Franklin is number one. Cale Sanderson is number two. Guy Gadowski's number three. Maybe Russ Rose is number four. I mean, it's a weird set of circumstances. How many other Power Five coaches in hoops find themselves in that quandary?
And at a school that has very little tradition when it comes to reaching the NCAA tournament. It is an interesting issue. And again, I talked about this a couple weeks ago with Nate Bauer from Blue White Illustrated, and he was making the point that they'd be maybe foolish to not keep Jim Ferry because that way you keep the roof on the house and you're still competitive. But that's where we get back to, Joe, is if you just blow it up and maybe you're really bad for a year like the Pirates are going to be this year, but you have a plan to get it back good in two or three. I mean, we're going to know in the next week. Penn State loses to Ohio State and Iowa, Jim Ferry's gone. There's no doubt in my mind. If they're 4-11, they're going to make a change. If he can win one or even both these games, then he's got a good shot to keep the job.
Well, I think Mike DeCourcy made a really good argument on my show last week for Penn State basketball when it comes to the tournament. Like, the NCAA doesn't want, the committee does not want to leave somebody out that belongs in. And they don't want the blood on their hands for somebody, you know what I'm getting at here, right?
Sure, yep.
So I have a funny feeling that Jim Ferry is going to make this decision easy. Like, I don't believe that once the season is over, like, I don't think that there's going to be super secret meetings to determine his fate. I think the average Tom, Dick, or Harry on Atherton Street is going to have a pretty good inclination as to what the move is. That's the upside and the downside of the situation they find themselves in.
Joe Lodnoski from the PA Sports Network. Appreciate your time, buddy. Thanks so much. Enjoy your afternoon.
All right. Be well, Corey. Thank you as always, my friend.
All right. Good discussion.